This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you, no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or perhaps how small your hometown might be, there are men and women around you who have done incredible things for the sake of our freedom, and we don't want to forget that. We want to honor our veterans for their service and sacrifice, preserve their stories so they're not forgotten, and along the way, we're educated, oftentimes inspired, and boy, are you in for a journey today, a special Memorial Day edition of Hometown Heroes. So often we hear from the veterans themselves, and we regret that so many veterans have passed on and aren't around to tell their stories. But that doesn't mean all hope is lost. We're going to hear a story today from Roger Murray about his father, who didn't come home from World War II, one of the more than 405,000 Americans who gave their lives in the service of our country. His father earned a Distinguished Service Cross and a Purple Heart. And maybe that's about the extent of your knowledge of your dad growing up, Roger. Tell me about your childhood and what you knew about this father that you never had the opportunity to meet.
Well, basically, I knew that my father was shot down and killed during World War II as a B-25 pilot flying in North Africa. I had seen a couple of documents that my mom had. One was from Harry Truman, and it stated, "In grateful memory of First Lieutenant Roger W. Jameson, who was my father, who died in the service of his country in the Mediterranean area, March 29th, 1943. And it states that he stands in the unbroken line of patriots who have dared to die that freedom might live and grow and increase his blessings. Freedom lives, and through it he lives in a way that humbles the undertaking of most men." So I had seen that in a scrapbook that my mom had. In the same scrapbook, there was a letter that was from a brigadier general to my mom, and it said, "Dear Mrs. Jameson, I have the honor to inform you that by direction of the President, the Distinguished Service Cross has been posthumously awarded to your husband, First Lieutenant Roger W. Jameson, for extraordinary heroism and achievement while participating in a bombing mission against an enemy target on March 29, 1943, as the aircraft piloted by Lieutenant Jameson was approaching the target. It was badly damaged by heavy bursts of anti-aircraft fire and almost immediately burst into flames. Though he could have turned back and abandoned the ship, he held his course with dauntless determination and courage, enabling the navigator bombardier to drop his bombs on the target. Leaving the formation in an attempt to recover control of his disabled aircraft, he remained at the controls to enable three of his crew members to escape by parachute from the doomed aircraft shortly before it plunged into the sea. The gallant action of Lieutenant Jameson is exemplary of the highest standards and courage and devotion of our armed forces." So that was really all I knew about my father. My dad was not really a topic of discussion as I was growing up. And for my whole life, up until 2 years ago, I thought that the men that bailed out that were mentioned in this document were strafed on the way down by the Germans.
So you thought no one survived this
right.
crash. I want to get to your view of your dad. You thought he's one of the heroes of World War II, or what did you think about him? What did you know about him?
Just essentially that he was a war hero. The reason that my name is different, because my real father wasn't a topic of conversation, he really wasn't part of my life as I was growing up. I took my stepfather's name out of respect for him raising me.
So since he was in the Air Force, you grew up in a lot of interesting places, different air bases around the world, and where you went to high school is pretty interesting, because I think your commute to high school is a little different than most people's.
Yeah, with my stepdad being a career officer, we traveled all over the world. I went to 14 different schools before I graduated from high school. I went to school on Guam, throughout the United States, in Nebraska, Alabama, etc. Then my stepdad was assigned the duty of being a commanding officer of a secret missile base in southern Italy. Because it was a missile base, there were no Air Force infrastructures in that area. So the closest Air Force high school was in Wiesbaden, Germany. there were approximately 20 of us American families in southern Italy that had kids that had to go to high school. So they had two C-47s, one for the boys and one for the girls. We would load up in the C-47s wearing Mae West, sitting on jump seats. These were old World War II planes.
Yeah.
We would fly from southern Italy to Marseille, France to refuel and then make it. It was about a nine-hour flight from there to Wiesbaden, where I attended school. They would fly us home on the holidays or at the end of school.
A little different than most of our high school experiences.
Yeah, right.
So all those years growing up, did your mother ever say anything about your dad? Did you ever kind of have that thought in the back of your head? I wonder if there's something more to my father's story.
I really didn't. My mom, I think, felt uncomfortable talking about my father in front of my stepdad. My stepdad was in Strategic Air Command. He was gone quite a bit. When he was gone, Mom, she would just kind of sit and share with me at times that she felt in her heart that my dad was still alive. She mentioned that many times as I was growing up, you know, as a young boy, and that it's something you kind of grasp onto and kind of hope maybe somehow my dad would be out there somewhere, but never pursued it. It was just something that we discussed and moved on. What is very interesting is that my stepdad knew my father. And when we lived in southern Italy, the Italians in that area are dark-complected, brown eyes. And at that time, where we lived was not a vacation spot. It wasn't any place where tourists would be. And I found out later a story that I found to have some credibility. My mom and my stepdad were walking downtown in Taranto, Italy, and they came around the corner and they ran into a young boy, several years younger than I, that looked like my twin. He was blue-eyed, blonde hair, and my mother froze in her tracks and spun and started walking away. And my stepdad caught up to her and said, "Do you want me to approach the boy and talk to him?" And my mother said, "No, let sleeping dogs lie." And then several weeks later, we lived in a ninth-story apartment building in Italy. My sister and my stepdad were looking over the balcony nine stories down, and that boy was standing looking up at my stepdad and my sister.
Well, and we'll come back to that later, because some people are saying, well, where's the story going here? Well, let's get on as your quest eventually finds more time for you to learn details of what actually happened to your dad. I think this is an important thing to note here. So often people find out, well, the records burned down in St. Louis. I can't find anything about my dad. Whether that's someone who made it home from the war and has since died and never talked about it, or someone, as in your case, your father never made it home from the war, you never met him. There's always something else that can be found. And I imagine for you now, Roger, with your book in publication and available on Amazon. We'll be talking about that. His book, if you want to look it up right now, is called Letters Home from a Fallen Hero, A Son's Quest for His Father. Can you imagine how different your life would be if you had never started this quest, if you hadn't pursued anything?
It somewhat changed my life in the process of learning about my father through 140 letters that I found in a box that my grandmother had that he had written to her. I now started learning who he was. And in that process, I've learned who I am.
Amen.
Quite a few similarities between his personality and mine.
And when was this that you found the box of letters?
I knew they were in existence, but I wasn't in a mental place to pursue it. I pulled one or two letters out and looked at them and put them back. And then in May of 2012, I just decided that I was going to transcribe his letters and memorialize him. And I really wanted to do that for my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
As I started transcribing his letters, I found 22 letters that my mom had written to my grandmother from the day they got married till the day my dad went overseas.
And the day they got married was the day he
earned
his wings.
My dad got his wings.
Mm-hmm.
In this box, I found 11 letters that my grandmother had written to my dad describing my mother's pregnancy and the fact that she was a riveter for Douglas Aircraft.
Your grandmother, 50 years
old. My grandmother, 50 years old.
Tells you something about what America was doing back then.
Right.
She goes to work in an aircraft plant riveting airplanes together.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So the letters that I found of hers were in a batch that were returned to her by the War Department. They were stamped MIA. She received these letters 3 months after my dad was killed. that kind of put me in a place of just thinking how that had to have hit her. So these letters have been transcribed and chronicled in the book, and that's how I started out. There have just been so many things that have occurred after I started writing these letters and transcribing them that there's really two stories. There's my dad's story, and then there's my story. There's just so many circumstances that have to be more than just that. It has to be spiritual intervention. There are circumstances on my journey finding now out about my dad.
Help us along this journey then. Tell us what it was like for you. What was the next step for you? And give us a sense of some of those things that have started to materialize for your understanding.
I'd like to just kind of go back.
Sure.
To kind of put this in some perspective. So I talked about the story of the boy.
Yeah.
I left Germany and came back to the States by myself under the name Roger Murray. My dad was not a topic of conversation. I moved in with my grandmother, and I enrolled in Fullerton Junior College. I was sitting on campus talking to an elderly teacher, and he kept staring at me. He finally said, "I know you." And I said, "Sir, you can't. I just got here. I just got here from Germany." He says, "No, I know you. What's your name?" I said, "Roger Murray." He goes, "No." He said, "Your father went here." And I said, "Well, he did in 1940, 41. He said his name was Roger Jameson. There's a plaque in his honor in the foyer in the school.
And you didn't even know that?
No. The hair went up on the back of my neck for him to pick me out 21 years later out of all the students that he'd seen. So that's part of my story on the circumstance or spiritual intervention. Following that, in 1976, I was working for Edison in Palm Springs. My mother calls me, and she says, "Roger, there's a Colonel Miller that lives in Palm Springs, and he was the last one to see your father alive. You might want to give him a call." So I call Colonel Miller, and he says, "Come on over. We want to see you." So I went over to the house, knocked on the door. When he opened the door, he yelled to his wife, "Gladys, you need to come see this." Well, evidently, I look pretty similar to my father.
Mm-hmm.
So we became very good friends. I moved on, moved out of the area. In 1981, I was a district manager for Edison in Santa Barbara. The chairman of the board called me and he said, "Roger, we have a customer that's very influential, and he has a problem with Edison, and you need to go take care of it."
And of course, you wouldn't be telling us about it if there wasn't another eye-opening twist about to result from that assignment. It's time for a break, but we haven't heard anything yet. The most amazing revelations and coincidences are still to come on this Memorial Day edition of Hometown Heroes. Our guest, Roger Murray, author of Letters Home from a Fallen Hero. You can find it on Amazon.com, and I do have the links up on the Hometown Heroes Facebook page and HometownHeroesRadio.com. As we pause to remember and reflect back on those who have paid the ultimate price for our freedom, Roger's story today will remind us that there's always something to look forward to also. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this. You know, one of the things I appreciate so much about the veterans we meet on Hometown Heroes is that they're real. A sincere and genuine spirit really makes an impression on me, and that's why I'm such a big fan of Educational Employees Credit Union. It was EECU that spearheaded the launch of Central Valley Honor Flight with an initial donation of close to $25,000, and the giving did not end there. More than 200,000 members know EECU represents smarter banking, but it's not just about being smart, it's about the heart. I've worked with the folks at EECU for years, and I've watched them put their money where their mouth is, supporting their credit union members right where they live in hometowns up and down Central California. From sponsoring first-class Educator of the Year ceremonies to taking the lead in sending World War II veterans on an unforgettable journey, my friends at EECU keep proving that you are at the heart of everything they do. Go to myeecu.org to see what EECU can do for you, or just walk into any branch. And while you're there, if you enjoy this show, tell them thanks for supporting Hometown Heroes.